Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. 1 Kings, chapter 19. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. First Kings 19, verses 1 through 6. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, by tomorrow about this time." When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for all that you've done for us. Thank you for this great church. And Father, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Lord, last week's blessings are numerous and almost too numerous to tell. But yet we stand before you sinful and needy. We need you again to work today in our lives. Last week is history. Today is when we need you. Holy Spirit, use our preacher. Fill us with your power. May we be more like you because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated.
Now, I'll ask that everyone settles themselves. Make sure your cell phones are off. Only leave the auditorium if it is an emergency. Let's make sure that we all allow the Word of God to get the attention that it deserves. And if you end up getting attention to yourself during this sermon, you have robbed God of the attention that He rightfully deserved. So let's make sure that we're careful with that. A moment ago, we read a story about a man named Elijah. I will use the words, and again later on, I think it's probably fair to describe it this way. Elijah had found himself discouraged or depressed in this story. We're going to talk about that. I call the sermon Elijah's Depression Care. The care that was given to Elijah during a time of depression in his life. But I want you to hear this. A depressed blonde decided to commit suicide by hanging herself from a tree in the park. A few days later, a man was walking his dog and spotted her hanging from the tree. He asked the blonde what she was doing. She replied, "Well, I've been hanging myself here for days." "You're supposed to put the noose around your neck, not your waist," said the man. She said, "I tried that, but I couldn't breathe." Man said, "I was so depressed last night, I called a suicide lifeline. They have a call center in Afghanistan. I told the man in Afghanistan I was suicidal. They got all excited and asked if I could drive a truck or fly a plane." I'm about to tell you a story. I'll apply it to our lives. I want to say this now so that you'll understand it. Elijah had experienced a tremendous, tremendous miracle in his life, a great victory. The story that we read a moment ago, following that great victory, Elijah found himself down. He found himself depressed. He found himself discouraged. Now, let me say this to you, if I could. Anytime somebody has a mountaintop experience, if you're on a mountaintop, on either side of a mountain, there are two valleys. And the valley is as deep as the mountain is high. And so our church experienced a wonderful thing last week. God took us to the mountaintop. But then that means there's the potential on the other side of the mountain of there being a valley. I'm not saying that there is necessarily, but for somebody, there might be. All the hard work that went into last week, now there's a change in us just a little. We work toward a goal, climbing a mountain, you reach the mountaintop, but you can't live there. You can't live there. You don't live on the mountaintop. I just hope that you'll listen to me today. If you came to get help, you're going to get help. And so I call this sermon Elijah's Depression Care. How did the depression get cared for in Elijah's life? In 1 Kings chapter 18, again, Elijah had just experienced a great victory. There were 450 false prophets of Baal that had been conquered by Elijah. There's a story on a mountain called Mount Carmel. Elijah was there, and there was a showdown between Elijah, the true man of God, and a bunch of false prophets. And what took place is there was an altar that was built of wood. A bullock was put on that altar. Elijah prayed to God, and God actually sent fire out of the sky down to consume that bullock, that altar. It had been drenched in 12 barrels of water. I know something about 12 barrels of water from just last week at church here. But it had been drenched in 12 barrels of water, and the sacrifice was consumed by the fire of God. It was a tremendous miracle. It was a bombastic miracle. God had taken Elijah to the mountaintop and did something spectacular in his life. But in the passages of scripture that we read, the Bible says that Elijah left there that day. He finds himself under a tree called a juniper tree. He was tired. Now it was back to the grind of everyday life for Elijah. I mean, he'd just seen this great miracle. In other words, Elijah had a great weekend down at the church, but Monday came. And when Monday came, it was back to the grind of the everyday responsibility of life. And then we find out that as Elijah leaves the great day, the great occurrence, Jezebel, who was the king's wife, she was a very powerful and wicked woman. She's the one that was in control of the 450 false prophets of Baal, and they were all slain at Elijah's hand. Well, she gets mad about it, and once she finds out about what happened, she puts a contract out on Elijah's life. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2, it says, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as a life of one of them." In other words, she said, "I'm going to kill you just like I just lost all my false prophets to death." Let me tell you something. There was a contract out on his life. I think there was a contract out on his spirit or his attitude. And that contract was placed on him by the devil. The devil's trying to steal his attitude. Devil was trying to steal his attitude the weeks after the miraculous occurrence on the mountaintop. And I just want you to know, there was a contract out on the attitude of Elijah, and there's a contract out on you too. Devil has a contract out on you. He wants to take your attitude out. He wants your attitude to get down. He wants to find you underneath a juniper tree, depressed and discouraged. Elijah went to the wilderness. He finds himself under this tree. He got so depressed that in verse number 4, he said, "I'm so down, I'm so discouraged, I'm so depressed. God, just take my life." Now, let me tell you something. All depressed people don't tell you they're depressed. Many depressed people don't even advertise it. Now, some do. There's some people, make sure you know. But there are many people that may have a smile on the outside, but a frown on the inside. And you just don't even know that they're discouraged, they're down, and they're depressed. And I think there is Elijah. He's underneath a juniper tree. He's bummed out, depressed, discouraged. He was down. He was feeling spiritually tuckered out and frustrated. And then God comes to him to solve his problem, to care for his problem. That's what my sermon's about today. I'm going to tell you what God did to help Elijah when he was down, when he was tuckered out and discouraged and depressed. Now, so you understand, now you know where this thing started. I'm going to give you the process that God helped Elijah through. But let me tell you the end of the story. Let me tell you that if you'll do what I'm about to teach you out, let me give you the result. Let me tell you what happened to Elijah. Remember, down and depressed, God steps in and says, here's the solution. Now I'm going to take you to the end of where you and I are going. Let me give you the result. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse number 18, it says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Here's what happened. This guy was down, discouraged, depressed to the point that he wanted to die. God entered the picture. God gave Elijah things that he needed of Elijah. Elijah did what God told Elijah to do. And the next thing you know, Elijah pops up, takes off, and he goes 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of God off of one meal. Now you listen to me today. I'm going to give you a meal from the bread of life. I'm about to give you a drink of the water of God. And if you will listen to me today, I can help some of you have strength and you could run like Elijah for 40 days off of one meal. One meal, if you'll do what the Bible tells you to do. Stay with me, please. Number one, depression cure suggestion. Number one, you've got to take care of your body. You've got to take care of your body. Your body's health can affect your attitude. Now, this is not to be used as an excuse all the time, though it is a reality. You've got to take care of your body. And if your body does not get the rest it needs, the nutrition that it needs, if it does not get the care that it needs, it can affect your attitude. Let me tell you what God told Elijah to do. Elijah was down. Elijah was depressed. Elijah was discouraged. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5, it says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, the angel touched him. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 6, it says, and he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Let me say to you, a lot of times when hardworking people find themselves depressed, their body's just tired. They may need a little rest. They may need some extra sleep. Your body is a temple of Almighty God. You must take care of it. I believe in working hard. I believe in putting in long hours. I believe in far more days on than days off. But there's only one way that I see my strength staying sustained in the spiritual battles that I fight. I have to get enough sleep. And I'm just here to tell you today, I'm your pastor and I love you, and you've got to get enough sleep or you're going to find it. If you don't take care of your body right, it may affect your attitude. But not only that, you'll like this. Part of the solution to the care of the body was to eat. 1 Kings 19:5, it says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then the angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. So God said something that's going to help you some with your discouragement is you're going to have to get the right amount of sleep. He then said you're going to have to eat. Now, he meant eat right. God fed Elijah. See, where are we going? We're going to the result of one meal spiritually helping a man make a discouragement comeback, and he goes for 40 days and 40 nights off of that one meal. Well, I promise you, it wasn't a Big Mac and fries. He was eating right. And folks, I'm your friend, and I'm your taste bud's friend. And I know how good it tastes, but sometimes you just can't eat everything that your tongue tells you to eat. In this day and age, we're killing our bodies by all the junk that we eat. What happens is busy people get busy and they eat a lot of fast food, and then you wonder why your body is deteriorating and you're so tired and you're taking a mental crash in your attitude. Your body's like a computer. There are computer terms, garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage into your computer, that's what's going to come out of your computer. You put garbage into your body, you're going to end up with a garbage attitude if you're not careful. Not only was it food, but there was water involved. 1 Kings 19:6, it says, and he looked and behold, there was a cake, bacon on coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down. He wasn't drinking soda. He wasn't drinking Kool-Aid. He wasn't drinking things full of sugar. God said, here's what I want you to do, Elijah. You're very tired. You are weary. You have seen a miracle happen. Your spirit's down. You're discouraged. You're a little bit depressed. What do you need? You need some rest. What do you need? You need to eat right. What do you need? You need to get that water into your system and keep your system strong. Hey, folks, your body belongs to God. Now, there are a lot of people that often ask me, say, preacher, how do you handle the schedule that you handle? How do you handle the pressure and all that you do and working day after day after day? Let me tell you something. I joke around and I have some fun and I tell you that I love cheeseburgers and all that sort of thing. But if you'd really ask Mrs. Owens, I have a regimen of vitamins. I have a regimen of sleep. I make sure we eat a lot of organic foods and we watch out for our health. There's no way in the world that I could stay healthy enough to do what I do if I acted like there was no tomorrow and I did not take care of the body that God's given me. I owe it to my God. By the way, I owe it to my church to stay healthy. And you know something, any of you that know me, and this is by God's grace, but I'll tell you something, your pastor's relatively healthy. No matter what I face, God seems to keep me healthy, but I'm supposed to do my part. And I'll promise you something, though I've got to move on because I've got a lot of other things I need to give you today. Some of you, you struggle with your attitude because of the way you eat. And some of you struggle with your attitude because of the way that you take care of your body. You take care of your body now. I want you to be reminded that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Hey, weight control will help you feel better physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Let me go on. Number two, depression cure. Suggestion number two, a realization that God does not want you to do what you do all alone. God does not want you to do it all alone. You listen to this. Elijah was down, depressed. He was discouraged. And God came along and made it very clear. God wasn't expecting Elijah to take care of everything spiritually all by Elijah's self. 1 Kings 19, verse number 7, it says, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat because thy journey is too great for thee. The angel said, what you've taken on, it's too much for you. It's too great for you. You can't do this by yourself. Folks, let me remind you of something. When you don't walk with God, you attempt to live your Christian life in your own strength, and you're going to fail at it. This life and living the Christian life apart from God, it's too great for thee. You need God. You're not going to handle it. And so, I'm going to tell you a couple things about that. I'm going to just be honest. I believe that God strengthened me through the years. And one of the ways God did that is I always kept a good attitude and good relationship with my pastor. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, you're going to try to do what you need to do, and you're going to separate yourself from the man of God, and you're going to find yourself with more discouragement and more depression than what you need. God gives you the man of God to help keep your spirit up. And when you separate yourself from him, when you run from him, you will find a discouragement and a depression. And you may find it hard to overcome by yourself. And here God came to Elijah and he said, this is too great for you. You're not supposed to try to do this by yourself. There are people that are actually come to hear the preacher preach, and because they have in their heart and mind distanced themselves from the preacher, they don't get everything that they should from the preaching. They've got an edge on them. They've got a wall up. They've got an element of bitterness and hardness and coldness. While somebody beside them is getting a dose of Holy Ghost encouragement through the preacher, you're not. And you wonder why you're depressed. You're not going to do it on your own. We're not, hey, folks, you and I, we are not islands. We are not going to make it on our own. And God never intended for it to be that way. You need the man of God. You need God. You need to stay truly close to spiritual people. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." With us, it is said by John. With us. Why? God came along to Elijah and he said, what you face, one reason you're down is you're separated from people. You're out here all the way on your own and you've got yourself under this tree. You need to get around the right kind of people. You need to get around good people. That you're, and he says this in that very same verse. He said that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write I unto you, that your joy might be full. When you separate yourself from the man of God and you separate yourself from truly spiritual people, you are not going to have full joy, and you're going to find yourself depressed because you weren't created to handle it all by yourself. Stay in church. You say, why? That's your support crew. Psalm chapter 26, verse 12, it says, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Now, let me tell you something, folks. When you're down, that is not the time to stop coming to church. You say, oh, I'm depressed about this and I'm discouraged about that. Then come back to church tonight. And be in church on Wednesday. I have watched some of you depress yourself, and now you've separated yourself from the man of God. You've separated yourself from the fellowship of God's people. Now you're separating yourself from the congregation of God's people, and you're not in church. And your depression and your discouragement is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. God provides a New Testament church as a support crew. Don't run from it. Hey, come to church when you're depressed. And I don't mean turn on the television, stay home and watch some TV preacher. You come to church live. I don't mean you take one of my CDs and you listen to it. You come to church live. I'm not talking about go on the internet and watch somebody and say I was in church. People ask me, preacher, are we ever going to go on TV? Are you going to be live on the internet? No, that's not my plan. You say, why? I don't want anybody to stay home and think they're in church. Because they're not. You need to be right here where you can see me spit while I preach. Every once in a while, you need to be able to hear that cell phone go off during church and say to yourself, amen, preacher just got another pizza. There are people in this room, you are struggling, and not everybody knows it. You're depressed, you're despondent, and you're discouraged. You say, what do you recommend? You better start taking better care of your body. Number two, you better make sure that you realize God never intended for you to do this by yourself. You need God, you need the man of God, you need spiritual friends, and you need the congregation of the Lord in the New Testament church. Number three, depression cure number three, the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Kings 19:9, it says, and he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. Yes, here we see again another part of the solution to the discouragement and the depression of Elijah. God's word is better than Ritalin. Amen. God's word encourages us. You know, you could get encouraged today if you would just look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Guess what? You're a part of that world. That encourages me. God loves me. God loves me. You know, you get encouragement today from the Word of God. If you just believe John chapter 10, verse number 28, where the Lord said, nobody can take my salvation away from me. He said, no man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. Boy, that encourages me. I'm encouraged at the fact the Bible says in Psalm 86, verse number 5, that God stands ready to forgive. Everybody else is preaching that God stands ready to persecute and God stands ready to judge. I'm here to tell you today, God stands ready to forgive. That encourages me. You and I see here that in the depression and this deep, dark hour in the man of God, Elijah's life, he was down to the point where he said, I just want to die. God came along and said, I'm going to get you some food. I'm going to get you some water. I'm going to get you some rest. I'm going to tell you, you weren't intended to take care of this on your own. I'm going to rally some people around you. Don't run from them. We're going to help you. And then the word of the Lord came. Hey, the power of the word of God is incredible. How's your Bible reading? It'd be far stretched to find someone who reads their Bible like they should that's continuously depressed. You say, but I'm too depressed to read my Bible. That's like saying I'm too sick to take my medicine. That's like saying I'm too hungry to eat that bread. I'm too poor to accept those riches. I'm too thirsty to drink the water. When you say I'm too depressed to read my Bible, you are committing spiritual suicide and the devil's got your thinking. I'm too busy to take time for Him. Hey, don't get so busy serving Him you stop walking with Him. I believe there's probably people under the sound of my voice, and I'm your pastor, and I'll tell you again, I love you and I'm proud of you. And you did a fabulous job. Hold the revival that we have seen. Our church has not been under the attendance of 1,300 in a month now, but let me tell you something. You can get so busy serving God that you forget the God that you're serving. There are people in here, you've worked hard and you've put a lot into it, but somewhere along the way, you stop praying and you stop reading your Bible and you stop. Hey, look, results do not prove spirituality. See, I reached my goal. You could reach your goal and be as backslidden and messed up as you could be. That's possible. I don't want you just to serve God. I want you to love the God that you serve. Don't get so busy serving Him, you stop walking with Him. And let me say this and make it very clear. I'm talking about some of you that have been saved 60 and 70 years. I'm talking about those of you that you've got your doctorate in theology. And I'm talking to those of you that have been in Sunday school and you just know the whole Bible and you're personal friends with Noah and the Apostle Paul. Let me say to everybody here today, nobody is strong enough to spiritually survive without reading your Bible. Nobody is strong enough to spiritually survive without reading your Bible. If you're not reading your Bible, you're dying and you don't even realize what you're doing to yourself spiritually. Take your medicine, Christian. Elijah was depressed and God helped fix him up. How'd he do it? He said, I want you to take care of your body. He said, I want you to know, I don't want you to try to do this on your own. You need the man of God. You need the church of God. You need the people of God. You need the word of God. Number four, depression cure. Number four, get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off yourself. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 10. Listen to this. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And listen, this is what Elijah says. And I, even I only, am left. They seek my life to take it away. He's got eye problems. He said, and I, even I, only am left. He said, I've been serving God and I've been so busy. And it doesn't seem like anybody else has any interest in anything. And look at poor little me. He said it once and then he turns around and says the very same thing again. He said it the first time in verse number 10. And then Elijah says it again in verse number 14. He says, and I, even I only, am left. Folks, just so you know, most depressed people are very self-aware. They're self-aware people. How do you know you're depressed? I know. Yes, you do. You know well. Matter of fact, you talk to you about it. All my needs, all my problems, all my hurts, all my feelings, all my wants, all my burdens, all my loneliness. Let me recommend something to you. Won't you go help somebody? Won't you go help somebody? Won't you go to the hospital and encourage someone? Won't you go to a nursing home and go love somebody that's got it tougher than you? Won't you walk into a nursing home that smells of human feces and go sit at a bedside with somebody that's not had a visitor for a year? help them eat their applesauce. And I'm not talking about you eating it with them. I'm talking about you giving them their applesauce and letting them eat it. I want you to go find somebody with a burden. Elijah said, I, oh God, me, oh mine, I. And no wonder he was suicidal. Seemed like he was pretty well stuck on one letter of the alphabet. I. But let me go on. I see depression cure number 5. That is to realize God is working even when you don't recognize God is working. God is working even when you don't recognize it. Let me read to you from 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 11 and 12 it says, and he said, go forth. This is what God tells Elijah. He says, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passeth by. And a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake it in pieces and rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now listen to me very carefully. God said to Elijah, he said, I want you to get up out from underneath that tree right there. I want you to go up on that mountain right over there and stand. And when you stand there, I want you to look for God. I want you to look for God in your life. The Bible says that Elijah did what God said. He went and stood on a mountain. And all of a sudden, the great God of the universe brought in that mountainous area a strong wind. It was probably a tornado. And God, you talk about God being, God can brew up any old weather that he wants to brew up. And here is Elijah standing on that mountain and a tornado is coming through and it's throwing things everywhere and the strong wind came. And the Bible says Elijah was looking for God, but he didn't see God in that tornado. God said, well, watch this. While on that mountain, God brought an earthquake. The earth was rumbling and shaking and rocks were falling. And God said, and Elijah is looking into that earthquake. He said, but I didn't see God in the earthquake. The Bible says then God allowed a fire. I don't know if fire fell again from the sky. Elijah just seen that. But it says then there came a fire. Probably fire came from the sky. And Elijah's looking at it and he said, well, here I am. I'm down. I'm depressed. And I look in that strong wind. I didn't see God. I looked in that earthquake. I didn't see God. I seen the fire fall from the sky. And I'm kind of used to that because I seen that happen once before. I didn't notice the Lord. But then the Bible says, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Elijah said, I didn't see God in the earthquake. I didn't see him in the tornado. I didn't see him in the fire. And when it was all done, there was a still small voice. There was God. He was right there. Let me tell you something. So many of you say, God, I'm down and I need you. I need you to send a tornado of blessing my way. You didn't get it. So he said, well, I didn't see God in it. He said, God, I need you to send an earthquake and just change everything up for me. And there was no earthquake. So he said, I don't see God. Even if God sent fire from the sky. Let me tell you something. If you are alive, Christian, God is working in your behalf. You expect God to explain everything he's doing. There are some of you, God has been resolving. God has been fixing behind the scenes. God is working on your behalf. Something is happening. And you, hey, God owes you no explanation. God does not have to explain to you what God is doing for you. You better just keep your eyes on the eastern skies. You better just believe that God's a good God and God's doing something. And there are people in here, you're demanding an earthquake. You're demanding a tornado. And you're demanding that fire is going to fall from the sky. I'm here to tell you, our God sometimes is a God of a still small voice. He very quietly and very gently, not in a spectacular way, is maneuvering and working and doing something for you. Because if you're alive, God is still working on your behalf. And you remember that God does not owe you an explanation about how He is helping you. But you should just have faith that God is still alive and God is still working in your life. Elijah said, I seen all this big bombastic stuff and I couldn't see God. But Elijah was not looking for that still small voice. But that's where God was, standing somewhere in the shadows. You will find Him. Let me give you another cure for depression. Number six, depression cure number six. God told Elijah to go do something. Told him to go do something. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 through 16, it says, And the Lord said unto him, Go. Return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Huh. Here's Elijah, he's all bummed out. He's depressed. He said, I want to die. God comes along and says, Elijah, I can help you with this. First of all, you're going to need to take care of your body. You need to sleep right. You need to eat right. You need to get that water in your system. That's going to help you. He said, secondly, you need to realize you're not supposed to do this alone. Check your relationship with me. Check your relationship with the preacher. Check your relationship with the spiritual people in the church. Check your relationship with the New Testament church. He said, then let the word of God begin to help you. Get your eyes off yourself. Then you realize, Elijah, I am working on your behalf, even if I don't send you fire from the sky every time like I did back on Mount Carmel. Even though you don't get an earthquake or a tornado in your behalf, I'm still working for you and I've got something going for you. And let that encourage you that I'm still on this thing. And then he said, now go do something. Go do something. Don't just sit there under the juniper tree. You know what God told this guy, Elijah, to do? He said, go anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Get up! Get out from underneath that tree. You're depressed. You're discouraged. Get up! Don't sit there and throw a pity party. Get up! Go anoint a king. You know what he's saying? Go help somebody else succeed. See, everything's falling apart in my life. And I'll tell you what you do. Go help somebody else succeed. Go help somebody else succeed. He said, go anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. You know what he's saying? Go back to work. Yes. Go back to work. He said, go anoint Elisha to be prophet. You know what some of you need to do? You know, I could help some of you with some of your depression and discouragement. Don't be laying around in all your spare time. And some of you take off way too much work over your discouragement. Go to work. Yes. Why? You're going to need your paycheck. You're going to be more discouraged when payday rolls around if you miss all the work that you can because you're discouraged. Yeah, I'm just so depressed about that stupid car. Go fix it. Don't just stare at it. Say, I don't have enough money to fix it. Fix what you can. Take it as far as you can, then sit there and say, okay, God, I did everything I can. But I at least did what I could. Can I help some of you ladies? Clean your house. This is not a good time to say amen, husbands. You let me do it. Let me do it. You just, on the way home, you just look over and say, I love the house like it is, baby. I just leave it. You leave it alone. I got broad shoulders. Clean your house! Sitting around, let it become a pigsty, and then you wonder why you're depressed. Go do something. Visit your Sunday school class. God was saying, work your way through this thing. Folks, productivity during depression equals dignity after depression. Let me say it again. Productivity during depression equals dignity after depression. We had a big day here last Sunday. I was tuckered out and wore out. I made sure that I had me a packed schedule on Monday. I personally want to be busy. Listen to me. I may not be able to help you with all your depression. I can't fix it all. But the Word of God has answers to some of this. Let me give you another one, number 7. Depression cure number 7, talk to God. Talk to God. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, it says, "And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." When he's talking about before the Lord here, he's saying, you go meet with God. Did you know that prayer will help your depression if you learn how to pray right? Prayer will help your depression if you learn how to pray right. You can take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You can take it there and leave it there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you, you're depressed because of your prayer life. You say, how so? Because all you pray about is your problem. There's some people in here, you pray an hour a day. This is what it is. Oh, God, it's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. I'm depressed. I'm depressed. I'm depressed. It's so bad. 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 My life's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. He heard you the first time. You're destroying your own mental attitude. Get yourself out of the mully grubs. I didn't mean to wake you up. There's some of you just scare you to death every time I do that. It's kind of fun, though. I think you could pray about your burden, but if that's all you ever talk about to God, sure, God's glad to hear from you, but you know, it wouldn't hurt that maybe you prayed for somebody else or something else. Maybe you ought to throw a little praise and thanksgiving in there. Pray for others. Pray for Joanne Cave, who is now fighting another bout with cancer. I was thinking of K.W. Walker. Rolled his rig. Brand new in evangelism. Rolled his rig. He's fine. He and his wife are fine. But boy, that's tough. They just started in evangelism not long ago. You pray for K.W. Pray for Sandy Hess. Where are you at, Sandy? Sandy. Oh, she's probably over in Children's Church. If you don't know Sandy Hess, you probably ought to travel the nation doing attitude seminars for people that are sick. I'm going to tell you something, though. When you all look at Sandy Hess, who has gone through cancer and chemo, and she's always smiling, there's some of you, you are a picture of health, and she encourages you. She's not been well. Somebody, you need to pray for Brother Russell Kelvington. Got word this week, both mom and dad have cancer. Both mom and daddy got that word this week. Pray for Brother Renner. Brother Herb Renner, he's not able to be here today. He's a sick man. You've all watched him dragging those big oxygen tanks and everything in here. And he's had a rough weekend. He and I talked this morning. I said, Brother Renner, I'm praying for you. He said, well, keep praying for me. He said, it won't be long. He knows he's going to heaven soon. Pray for his wife. Pray for our Bible college, that God do something miraculous and great in regard to it. Hey, pray for all the new converts that we've reached in the last month. Pray for those 500 or so people that were saved on this property last Sunday. Listen to me, though. There's some of you who are depressed and you don't talk to God. And when you do talk to God, it is all a big pity party. And I am for you, take your burden to the Lord. I'm for you taking it to Him and asking Him. But could you add a whole bunch of other people to your prayer list? Did you know this isn't all about you? I've got to hurry. I've got to hurry. Number 8, depression solution number 8, obey God. Obey God. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, remember Elijah, he's down, he's depressed. To the point that he wants to die. God is giving him a process to help get him out of the depression. Remembering the result was God gave him one meal. It was a physical meal and a spiritual meal. I'm feeding you the spiritual meal today. One meal. He got back up. He went out and for 40 days and 40 nights had victory and went a conquering out in a lost and dying world. Point number 8. And this is the last one I'll give you today. You've got to obey God. 1 Kings 9, verse 15 and 16, it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king." You know, the Bible says here, God told him, I want you to obey me. You go do what I tell you to do. He said, go, in verse number 15. And Elijah's response is this. Verse 19, he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. You know what he did? God said, Elijah, I'm going to tell you some things to do, and you go do it. And the Bible says Elijah just went and did what he was supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
Some here are depressed because you're not obeying God. Some of you might even have depression confused with conviction. Some of you might have depression confused with chastisement. I'm so down. Yeah, God's probably swatting your rear end. Excuse the French. If you're not right with God, you won't be happy. Somebody here, you've gotten saved, but you've never been baptized. Now, let me explain that to you. Getting saved, that's all of the Lord. You get saved, Jesus saves you, but getting baptized doesn't save you. It's something you're supposed to do after you get saved. Getting baptized doesn't get you to heaven. Now remember, this is a Baptist church. But getting baptized doesn't get you to heaven. Anybody tells you that's a liar. And I'm a Baptist pastor. I believe in baptism. But it is just a step of obedience after one's salvation. If you've been saved and never been baptized, you're going to struggle some. And you might even find yourself depressed and feeling bad. And you don't even know why. It's a disobedience to God. Anytime we're disobedient to God, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to feel bad. Some people don't like our church because you may leave someday feeling bad. I never intended for you to feel bad. I plan to preach to you about your sin. You get it right so you could leave feeling good. It's not my job to make you feel good. It's my job to preach to you about your sins. And if you'll stay right with God, God will help you feel good. You want to go to the church and say, well, you preach against sin. Yeah, that's because I love you. And if I'll preach against your sin, we can get it out of your life. And if you get it out of your life, you're going to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit of God and your obedience to God. You might need to get baptized. There's some of you, you don't tithe. I'm not going to go into that in depth, but you say, I'm depressed. Well, get right with God. You know, you're not supposed to feel good about being contrary to God. You're not supposed to feel good about your disobedience to God. As a matter of fact, if you're really depressed right now and you've not been doing things that you know you're supposed to do, I'm glad for you. You say, why are you glad for me if I'm depressed about not doing what I'm supposed to do? It means you're saved. It means God it means that God is not giving you joy because you're disobedient. If you know you're supposed to be going soul winning and you feel bad about it, hey, some of you didn't give a lick about last week. You wouldn't even come back to find out what God did in the evening and you felt bad about it. Good! You were supposed to feel bad about it. You say, oh my. We're supposed to feel bad when we don't do good. You don't come to church, you're supposed to feel bad. Did you know that if you disobey God enough, you're going to end up depressed as a Christian really bad? The further away from Him you get, the more depression you'll find. Even Christian, you may turn to liquor and drugs and everything else. You try to find everything under the sun to create a joy that you used to have by being obedient.
Yes, sir.
Hey, if you're hunting more deer than you're hunting souls of men, you might have a problem. I love to hunt. But I guess you won't let that take the place of helping people. Obedience to God is a depression fighter. Some of you, your depression is conviction. Hey, you need to obey Philippians 4:4 where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You need to obey Romans 13:9 where it says, thou shalt not covet. Let me tell you, much depression comes from dissatisfaction of what God has given us. We look at what others have instead of what we have, and we find ourselves depressed. If you just obey the scripture and be satisfied with what God's given you. Some of you need to obey the scripture in Ephesians 5:20 where it says, giving thanks always for all things. You need to start counting your blessing instead of what you call your curses. I'm done, but I wish we had more time. I'm not Dr. Phil or I'm not Oprah. But I do know what the Word of God says. And I'll guarantee you what you've been taught today, if you will do what this book says, there's some of you that are down and you're depressed, and God could begin to solve the problem if you'd just do what you were taught today. I don't charge as much as a psychologist. Though, you could write an extra check, put it in the offering if you want. If you're here today and you're not saved, that's enough to depress you. If I ask you this question, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If your answer is anything other than an emphatic yes, you're probably going to have extra depression. Matter of fact, you could have a lot of it. Listen, the Bible teaches you can be saved and know it for sure. Talk about encouragement, just to know that no matter what happens to you, you're going to go to heaven. That encourages me. If you're not saved, I'd get saved. It will be the start to a new spirit within you in more ways than one. If you're disobedient to God in an area, you get it fixed, it'll begin to help your depression. I've given you the cure for Elijah's depression straight from Dr. Jesus' book. This will help you if you let it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's the question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you would go to heaven? If you say, I am not sure of that, I do not know if I died today I would go to heaven, I'm not sure. Pray for me, preacher. I don't know that for a fact. I'd like to know, but I'll be honest with you, preacher. I'll be honest in church. I'll be honest to you. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I don't know. I'm not sure of that. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, good. God bless you. I see that hand. And there's another hand. And there's another. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand. God bless you. I see that hand, sir. I see that hand, ma'am. I see that hand, sir. Many hands. There's another. And there's another. In the balcony, there's one. And there's another. Someone else. You say, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'll be honest. And I do suffer with some down times. I'd like to get them cared for. Get saved. That'll make a difference. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Another hand. Those of you that just raised your hands, and those of you that should have and you didn't, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, we're all going to stand. The instrumentalists are going to begin to play. The choir is going to begin to sing. The men that are sitting on this platform will step down off the platform and post themselves down front. They'll be on the lower level down front. And what I want you to do, if you raised your hand or if you should have and you didn't, you leave your seat. You walk down the aisle. You walk up to one of these men and just say, I want to be saved. And then you get to your spot quickly and you watch. You watch for those inquiring about Jesus and salvation. You come, soul winners, you be ready. You know what you're supposed to do. You find your place so we can give the gospel to people that need to be born again. In just a moment, those of you that are unsaved, you're going to come. You're going to get saved. And I promise you, I'll put God's reputation on the line. God's going to make a difference in your life. Number two, there are born again Christians in this room. You struggle with a downtime and a depression. Listen, I'm not telling you we can take care of it all this way. I do know your health has something to do with it. I know every one of these have something to do with it. But there are people in here that if you would just do what the preacher and the Word of God has combined forces today to help you to do, it's going to make a difference in your life. Who here would say, Brother Owens, God has specifically spoken to my heart today. I found something in that sermon that's going to make a difference in my life. I just know it. Would you raise your hand and say, God's helped me. God's helped me. Well, if you need the altar, you come. There's somebody here. You need to rededicate your life to the Lord. There's some area here. You're so far off track. It's pathetic. It's no wonder you've got yourself down and out. There's disobedience. There's people need to walk down here and you say, God, I am so sorry. I've been disobeying you. It's no wonder I'm under conviction. It's not just depression. I'm under conviction because of disobedience. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play.